RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
It's hello, everybody, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is Ian Beckles. I'm hanging out here at the Flavor of Tampa Bay headquarters and Dignitary headquarters as well, in the new podcast room, which is very comfortable. The sound is good in here, and this is probably the most fun I have from all the podcasts. I have three podcasts now. We got a football podcast, In the Trenches. We have a cannabis podcast. The cannabis podcast is what it's called, and we have Flavor in Your Ear, and this is the one that's probably the most fun for me, because I get to talk about a lot of different things and not just all one thing. So if you're somebody who's interested in podcasts, you should probably get in touch with us over here. We can facilitate them. We have all the fancy gadgets and doohickeys, and we can do it for you here. I don't know much about them. I don't know much about podcasts. I can speak, and Radio Influence does the rest, so it makes it real easy. So if you're interested in maybe doing a podcast, and I hear a lot of people are, get in contact with me sometime at Ian Beckles social media, I-A-N-B-E-C-K-L-E-S. So it's Friday. The Buccaneers played yesterday in the first preseason game. I would tell you the score, but it doesn't matter. I would tell you the results, but they don't matter. You know, haven't played in many, 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 many preseason games. As a starter, your goal is two things. Actually, three things. Your goal is to stay healthy, play well, and get the hell out. That's it. You want to get out of that football game. You know, you got a bunch of starters that don't want to fall. You got a bunch of second stringers don't want to fall. There's a few guys that want to get in there. But I tell you, the starters don't want any part of it. It's a big part of, you know, your progression to becoming ready to play that first game. But a lot of that's done in training camp as well. You know, these coaches these days, they don't wear these players out. They just don't. The Buccaneers are in a weird situation where they had their starting quarterback yesterday, quote unquote, Jameis Winston, play more than the second string quarterback. Now, that's an odd situation. Jameis is going to be the starter in week four. Mr. Fitzpatrick is going to be the starter in week one through three. So you got to get them both ready to play. But you also have to be leery of injuries and setting your team back as well. When you look at a player like Vita Vey, who was the first pick in the draft for the Buccaneers defensive tackle, boy, I tell you what, for a guy who's going to be new to this game, new to this league, playing, you know, it's going to be foreign. Boy, when he first straps it on, he has a lot to learn. And I hate to say this, but he's setting his rookie season back eons and eons by not being in there right now. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but your rookie season, the first couple weeks, is amazing how much you learn and how much you get your ass kicked. And hopefully you're not going to keep on making these mistakes, but Vita Vey is hurting himself not being in there. I'm not saying he should be in there. He's obviously hurt. But it's not a good thing for us Buccaneer fans that are looking for Vita Vey to do some big things this year. He was supposed to be the guy that takes the pressure off of Gerald McCoy, allegedly. I mean, I've heard a lot of people that were supposed to have done that already. But we've, you know, I've been in a lot of preseason games, and I remember, you know, the only important thing is to find out how much you're playing. So sometimes you piss off the coaches by keep on asking them, how much are we playing? How much are we playing? They may get two series, three series. And I remember one time Sam White took us out in the first quarter and put us back in the fourth quarter. That wasn't a whole lot of fun, trust me. So football season is upon us. We'll be able to watch real football very, very soon. This whole kneeling thing is, I'm making that prediction. It's been nothing until this point. It is going to blow up, I promise you. Sometime this year, that kneeling thing is going to blow up in somebody's face. And we're talking about court litigations. Something's going to happen because, you know, this shit is going to hit the fan. Because you're going to hear there's no kneeling, and then you see kneeling, and then the owners make rules, and the owners take away rules. The NFL is one of those entities that kind of does their own thing. Like, they're above the law, sort of. And I think the court systems are tired of them acting like they're above the law. And there was players kneeling yesterday. There's going to continue to be players kneeling. There's going to be some players stay in the locker room. And this whole thing is going to turn out poorly. And I said it a long. I said this a long time ago. And the way it's kind of unfolding is, I don't think it's good for anybody. Because nobody's really agreed on anything. We're talking about, literally, I feel like it's the Democrats against the Republicans when you talk about, you know, the NFL against the players and this whole kneeling thing. That's how far apart they are. They're not going to come to any bipartisan decision that is going to be good for both sides. That's impossible. The one side is like, I don't give a rat's ass. You're going to do as I say. And the other one's like, well, you can't treat me like that. I'm American. I can do as Americans can do. And an average American, if somebody's playing the anthem at your work, you're allowed to sit down. You're allowed to. And that's the law. So there's a lot of people out there that still don't like them kneeling. Well, then you don't kneel. That's fine. You shouldn't give a crap what everybody else is doing. But, I mean, I'm telling you, this is the first preseason game. They're gone by. And this thing is going to ramp up even before the regular season comes about. That's for sure. Now, I was driving today on Gandy, and I looked up on the board on Hooters, and it said Rays Watch Party. And I had a quick chuckle because I I even forgot it was Rays season. And they're actually playing pretty well. I mean, I think they're above 500 or right around 500. They're playing their asses off. And Kevin Cash, if anybody thought that he can't, you know, manage, he's managing. I mean, he's building a house with spit and boogers, and he's 500. So you got to give Kevin Cash some love for that. And I just laughed when it said Rays Watch Party, because if there's more than two people watching the Rays, that's a watch party. If there's three people in a room watching the Rays, boy, I tell you what, bring out the dip, because I haven't heard a damn thing about the Rays all year. And I'm in the circle. I'm in the circle in the media. I never hear anybody talking about the Rays in the media other than a sports channel, and it sounds painful for them to do it. You're just nothing to talk about. It's easier to talk about a team that sucks. They're just kind of there. They're just kind of there, and anybody who's relevant is going to get traded. That's just the way it goes. I mean, that's the way the Rays do it. And there's really no other way for them to do it. As fans, you want to root them on and think that you want to be optimistic about this. You can't be optimistic with the Rays because it's not really going anywhere. It's not. They're still, we're 500, but we still have a long way to go to compete, especially when you keep on getting rid of any legitimate player that you have. When I mean legitimate, they're not always that legitimate, okay? A guy like Chris Archer, you got a little something for him, but Chris Archer was never that great of a baseball player. And who do we have left? Kevin Kiermaier, what is he batting, 180-ish? I mean, I know you're going to save a couple runs every year, but that's not going to make up for you 180, okay? 180 as a leadoff batter, it just doesn't work, unfortunately. For myself, I actually catch myself watching the Little League World Series more than I watch Rays baseball. It's more compelling, I guess. It just seems that way. But listen, I'm a Rays fan. I'm going to continue to cheer them on. I'm going to continue to wear my Rays hats because they're stylish, and we're going to go with that. Now, I got my eye on that whole Urban Meyer situation over there in Columbus. I'm curious what's going to happen here because, you know, wins and losses are, I'm going to say, undefeated. Because if you're a coach that wins, boy, you got to kick somebody in the face to lose your job. I would be shocked if Urban Meyer loses his job over this one. Because on the list of disgusting things coaches can do, this is just on a list with a bunch of other stuff. Like, I've seen it. I've been there. I've seen it. And the problem is the victim, Courtney Smith, is her side, and now it seems to be her side and Buckeye fan side. And that's a bad look. That's a bad look for anybody that wants to crucify somebody before they know any of the details whatsoever. You know, in Columbus, they have a 30,000-person petition that they had out there, and they're backing Urban Meyer really without any evidence. Now, in this day of the Me Too movement, that's so gosh darn hypocritical. Listen, if Urban Meyer knew that his coach was abusing his wife domestically, and he knew that and he allowed it to go on, he should lose his job. He should. Will he? Probably not. But in this day and age, to allow that to happen, and Urban Meyer knew and Urban Meyer's wife knew, it's just ridiculously hypocritical. And I find that all of us now, not just me, you, and I try to stay as on the fence as I can about a lot of these different situations, but I try to evaluate them the same. I'm not an Ohio State Buckeyes fan. I would like to believe that whether you're a USF fan or a Gator fan or a Buckeye fan or an Indiana Hoosier fan, when something happens to a coach or a player, it would be nice if you evaluated them all the same. I don't think everybody has that ability to do it. You know, to me, sports and politics are very similar to where, you know, when you hate an athlete and he does something, you're like, oh my God, he's the worst. He should go to jail. And if you like the athlete, oh, that's not that big of a deal. He's a good guy. You know, he's a good old boy and all these kind of things like that. So I try to stay par for the course when I listen to all these stories. It's not easy to do. But Urban Meyer, in this culture, should lose his job. I just don't think it's going to happen. There's just too much money involved with it, too much money backing it. When you have a lot of money backing something, it usually turns out well. It really does. Now, there's a couple things that happened. This is crazy to me. The Oscars were down, I think. Viewership was down 19%. And the Oscars are trying to find ways to boost viewership. I think it came out, it was a four-hour program. They're going to bring it down to 3 hours, which is still a long-ass time. A lot of the awards that they issue are going to be done during the breaks. But now they're going to come up with a pop, best pop movie category. Now, this may be a coincidence or it might not. They're coming up with the best pop movie category. The one big thing that happened in the cinema this year was Black Panther. So it may be a coincidence that they're coming up with this now, but if Black Panther, who broke every box office record, if they didn't win, people would be up in arms. So they got to make a category where they're going to win. Because a lot of the people who are going to be voting for all these other frilly lily movies, when I watch the Oscars and the movies that win in the Oscars, I've never seen those damn movies. Those are fluffy, artsy movies. I watch stupid shit. I haven't seen Black Panther. I don't know either way. I've had some people say it was awesome. Some people say it's okay. But it seems like the Oscars all of a sudden pops up and they're going to say, we're going to bet the best pop movie. So you can pretty much ink Black Panther as best pop movie next year at the Oscars. You could ink that one in. That I guarantee. Let me tell you guys about a wonderful app and a website that I've got introduced to, and that's VividSeats.com. It's an online event ticket marketplace that I'm taking advantage of. I'm going to the Saints-Buccaneers game opening day, and I'm going to need 8 tickets, so I'm definitely going to take advantage and hit them up and get some wonderful deals. From all the Bucks preseason, all the regular season games, when you're looking at the Bucks schedule, whether they're playing the Steelers or the Eagles or the Browns, the Saints, Falcons, those are all choice tickets. So you want to make sure you call the people that you know you're going to get wonderful deals, and that's VividSeats.com. It's also with the Rays and Lightning. Doesn't matter. Any tickets, they'll take advantage of you. Vivid Seats is offering Flavor listeners 10% off their first order. So if you check them out and use the promo code FLAVOR, FLAVA, you'll get 10% off your first purchase. And that's just something given to you from us. So once again, you want to check them out at vividseats.com. You want to get the app and use the promo code FLAVOR, FLAVA, and get 10% off your first ticket. So take advantage. Now, Marquise McLaughlin, who lost his life a couple months ago, I believe it is now, to I think a guy's name was Michael Krejcha. The fact that there's still not an arrest being made, I'm just saying from my vantage point, is scary as hell, okay? Because I've watched that thing 100 times. And I understand it has to go to court. Everything has to go to court. That's the American way. But since when is the American way just saying you're scared for your life? Is that the American way? As a 300-pound plus black man, I'm scared to talk to anybody anymore because I might walk on an elevator and some guy might be scared for his life and kill me. Now, obviously, Marquise McLaughlin did more than that, but did Trayvon Martin do more than that? Did Trayvon Martin do anything worse than step on an elevator, which I do all the time, or walk in a neighborhood, which I do all the time? This is scary, man. This is scary that I can watch that video 100 times and Michael Krejcha is still not in jail or arrested. You don't have to keep him in jail. Arrest his ass. There's nothing that you can find in that tape that can warrant an arrest. I'm missing the whole thing if that's the case. The fact that he's walking the streets, I couldn't imagine being the family of Marquise McLaughlin. I wouldn't give a shit about the law. I really wouldn't. If you killed my son or somebody in my family like that, like I don't want to act like I'm going to go and kill somebody, but it would be very hard for me to sleep knowing that guy. Who, by the way, let me give you a story of Michael Krejcha, the great Michael Krejcha, who is pretty much a vigilante. Earlier this year, he did the same thing with another African American in the same spot, and by the way, used the N-word and told him that he'd kill his ass. Come on now. That's a little bit much. You know, George Zimmerman, he had numerous situations acting like a vigilante. This guy acting like a vigilante, and we're allowing them to walk on our earth. It's disgusting. That whole thing to me at this point is disgusting, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to think anymore because I sit here listening to other people backing the other side, and it's getting scary now. It's like I have every right to have a gun, and I can't wait to use it. You guys have every right to have a gun, but if you go use it that way, then y'all don't need one, all right? Y'all don't need one, and you certainly don't need to be in somebody's face as an instigator with a gun. If you go to a fight with a gun, you're going to pull it out. When you pull it out, somebody's dying. And I was talking to a gun owner the other day, and I'm naive to a lot of things. I'm not a gun owner. I'm 110% on the side of owning a gun. Everybody should have a gun. If you want to tote it, fine. If you want to have it in your car, fine. As long as you do it legally, I'm okay with that. But to pull out a gun, once you pull it out, somebody dies. And I was talking to a gun owner. And I said, well, why did he shoot him in the shin? And he looked at me and said, the first thing you learn as a gun owner is shoot to kill. And I thought about it for a second, and it makes sense. You pull a gun out to just slow somebody down, you may be the one dead. And here's another thing that came up, and I never thought about it. Stand your ground. If you shoot them in the shin, you can't use that. You can't use it. If you say you were scared for your life, you're going to shoot to kill. You're not going to shoot to maim. Never thought about that. That makes the rule pretty jacked up. All right? So something has to happen. Stevie Wonder won't come play in Florida because of Stand Your Ground. There's got to be something. I mean, the great Stevie Wonder. I'm on everything Stevie Wonder has ever said, ever. I'm on that side. We're happy. We got to be lucky that we live on this coast because I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to all those fires going on in California. By the way, it's the worst fire in history now. And it's not nearly over. That fire is whooping ass in California. Ben Swig, a good friend of mine, had an RV trip, and I had to cut it short because he wasn't going through California. If I saw those fires, there ain't no way I'm going anywhere near those. And people talk about global warming, and I don't know much about global warming. I just know one thing. Mother Nature is pissed. And Mother Nature has both guns cocked all the time because it seems like anything that happens Mother Nature-wise these days is just extreme. It's the most, biggest, most, best, worst, and it's never just normal anymore. And it's that's getting scary as well. Chicago is getting scary with all the killings. We understand about the gang violence in Chicago. There's a lot of gang violence. We know that. But the numbers are getting staggering. You know, when you look at a mass killing like there is in, you know, whether it's schools or wherever they may be, you know, it gets all this press. But, you know, when a dozen people are killed in Chicago on a weekend, it doesn't seem like nearly the biggest deal, but it's still 12 people. It's still 12 people dead. So, you know, here comes the argument for gun people. Oh, you see, Chicago has some of the toughest laws and they're still killing each other. That's not a good argument. It's like that argument, well, you guys use the N-word, why can't we use the N-word? If you ever say that, stop. It's just not a good argument, all right? There's idiots killing idiots. That's it. I don't care if they're doing it legally, illegally, whatever, but there's idiots right now killing idiots. And that's got to stop sometime soon because this our country is going to shits. It really is. We're too worried about other people in other country where it's starting to blow up right in our face. That is for sure. So I always like to touch on a little politics because that drives me crazy because I watch too much of it now. I really do. Keeping an eye on this whole Manafort case. It's so funny, is it? Like Manafort versus Gates. It's like they're up there saying, he stole my money that I obtained illegally. So it's like crooks stealing from crooks. And they're all admitting this whole thing, okay? And for Gates came out and said that Manafort had 15 foreign accounts that I thought might be illegal. You thought that a foreign account is illegal. Why would you need a foreign account? Why do you need it? Of course it's illegal. 15 foreign accounts are illegal? Duh. Why else would you need a foreign account other than all the shenanigans and tomfoolery that's going on in your world? And there's a whole lot of it, and it's being dug up. And this whole Mueller thing, it's going to dig up some stuff, man, because, you know, the one side, you know, the Democrats are looking and saying, oh, my God, there's a lot of dirt that was happening around Donald Trump while he was in office. And, you know, the Republicans are saying, oh, it has nothing to do with that. Those guys weren't anything to do with Donald Trump. And they're not, there's no correlation. You know, from what I've read about Manafort, how he was bought off millions and millions of dollars, and his job, you know, was to turn American government against each other. That was his job. For him to end up being the president's right-hand man, you know the things that make you say, you don't think the president had access to information that could have told him that? The president has access to everything. Every piece of paper, he has the FBI, he got the Department of Justice. Well, he's not using them because you don't trust them. But at the time, he probably trusted them. But he could have used them for a background check on Manafort. You don't think the president knew everything that was going on in Manafort's world? There's no way he didn't. There can't be that much fire around you and you not smell something burning, okay? You got to smell something burning. There was so much shenanigans and tomfoolery around him. There's no way. He couldn't have seen this. It's impossible. So we'll see how this whole thing's going to turn out because even with the court case, every time Donald Trump comes up, and I've been watching, Donald Trump's name came up one time and the one lawyer objected and they went up to the stand and they conversed for quite a long time and nobody has access to that. They won't let it out. So there's a lot of people hiding a lot of stuff. What it is, I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of people hiding a lot of stuff. And, you know, we have a president that declares war and talks bad about other people's countries on Twitter, on social media. Donald Trump is going to lead to his demise through social media. Watch. Because he said things on social media about the meetings in Russia and with his son, about him not knowing anything about it. Now it's in writing. Now it's always there. If that ever comes to court or he has to ever go in front of a jury or what, it's right there. You lied right in front of you. The Republicans know they cannot have Donald Trump go up on any stand. They know that. They're going to do whatever they can and not have that happen. And if you're a Donald Trump fan, you can't possibly want that to happen. But that's where they're heading. And it's going to get ugly real soon. When you talk about lockouts and all that, that's all Donald Trump's going to do. Anytime he doesn't want something, he's going to say, oh, I'll lock us out. You're not going to give me a wall? I'm going to lock you out. Rich kids, I tell you, that's how rich kids would be doing it in my neighborhood anyways. You're not going to let me play. I'm going to take my ball and go home. Here's another one of his wonderful tweets that were put out there. And I hear Trump supporters still supporting. Bless you. Good for you. And that's fine. I like people that, you know, they stick to their gun. This is what I believe. But I want you to just keep a close, open mind for one, just for 1 second. Make yourself an African American for 1 second. You might be, I don't know, but make yourself one. When there's allegations of Trump being racist, you've heard it? Have you heard it? I've heard it. I don't know if he's racist or not. I've never sat in a room with him. Don't know whether he is or not. But you have to understand this. When you talk to and about very intelligent African-Americans and call them dumb, that's putting you above the whole race. You want an example? So LeBron James, who's done more for communities than Donald Trump ever will, he opens up a school, paid for, books paid for, scholarships, athletic equipment, gorgeous school for underprivileged kids. Listen to me, underprivileged kids who don't have. There's a place here in Tampa Bay area, I think it's called Academy Prep, I believe it is. It's downtown. It's very similar. I don't know who funds it, but I've been there. It's a gorgeous school. Those kids act better than any kids I've ever seen in any school ever. And I heard they don't come from anything. But for Donald Trump to say, first of all, Don Lemon, who was on CNN, black anchor, I think the only one that I can think of. Donald Trump says LeBron James was just interviewed by the dumbest person in television, that was Don Lemon. So now he called a black man who's very eloquent and very intelligent, very dumb. He called him the dumbest person on television. LeBron James was interviewed by the dumbest person on television, Don Lemon. And he made LeBron James look intelligent. And that's hard to do. So LeBron James, whether he's talented athletically, he's a basketball player, whatever, I've never heard of a bad business endeavor. I've never heard of anything he's done bad off the court. He's never done anything to make me think he's unintelligent. And to say that it's hard to make LeBron James look intelligent, as a black man, that the hair should stand up on your arms. He can't bring up Maxine Waters. Now, let me preface this. I don't give a crap what Maxine Waters says. She don't ever say anything that's all that enlightening to me. I don't even know her from Adam or Eve. I really don't. But to say after every time you bring her name up, she has a low IQ, fuck you, straight up. I mean, you can't bring up a black person without saying they're dumb. For me, I have a problem with that. If it doesn't bother you, that's fine. But for me, it bothers me. So if anybody wants to know why I dislike him, that's one of the reasons. There's others too. I just don't have time to bring them all up, but there's lots of them. This is not political. I didn't bring up any politics. Hey, I think he's doing great stuff. You get bonus checks, that's great. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the way what's coming out of his mouth and how he's empowering people that have the same mentality as him. And that's not a good thing. In my world, it's not. And now there's people out there that think less of anybody who doesn't look like them. They're very empowered. And, you know, unfortunately, it's our president doing that. And unfortunately, things don't look like they're going to get better anytime soon. As long as he's here, and it looks like it's going to be another 6 years, it's not going to be boring by any means. He's going to give me plenty of fodder for my podcast, which is good. Let's just hope that this whole country doesn't implode or just kill each other in the meantime. Let's hope that's the case. If anybody ever has any questions for me, IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. Once again, on Monday, Flavor, we're doing In the Trenches on Monday, Flavor Year on Fridays, and on Wednesday, the Cannabis Podcast. So you want to check all those out, Radio Influence and all the other podcast venues. So I appreciate talking to you guys. This is about the most fun I have with these podcasts. I really appreciate you guys listening every week. Have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Bringing that flavor.
This is a Jim Fannin Show quick fix on Radio Influence.
What is culture? What does it mean? You know, there's a dictionary definition. It's the set of shared, and a key word, attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterizes an institution or an organization, as in a corporate culture. Yeah, they're money hungry. They're focused on the bottom line. They don't care about their employees. They care more about their shareholders. And that's got a very, very stringent, tough, kind of antisocial culture. And there's companies like that.
Yeah.
And typically, the culture emanates from the founder. And then I've seen where the founder developed this culture because he was hands-on. Entrepreneur, he had passion in the product or service that he created, invented, or got fired up on how to distribute. And then all of a sudden, they start making a lot of money. 1,000 employees come in. That entrepreneurial spirit, which emanated from the founder, is a mere picture on the wall, and they celebrate his birthday, and the culture takes off according to their board, according to their financial advisors, and the next thing you know, it's not how it was initially created, which made them successful. So if you have a company or you want to build a company, you need to keep your eye on the culture, because it will come back to haunt you or bite you, or it will come back to elevate you and take you to even greater heights.
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.